G'day, we hope you're enjoying our podcast. Producing a podcast is costly, both time and money. If you'd like to show your support and offer a one-off payment, even the price of a coffee or a beer, that'd be greatly appreciated and would go a long way to support us. If you'd like to leave a donation, head to the show notes of this episode and click on the Acast supporter link. Be sure to leave your message of support too. Thanks again.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The thoughts and opinions shared in this podcast are just that. It's up to the listener to decide what is true and what is not true. This podcast talks about domestic violence and death. It contains adult themes and coarse language. If you need help or you are affected by such issues, you can contact your nearest help centre, such as Lifeline on 13 1114 or DV Connect on 1800 811 811. Discretion is advised.
Well, hello, BVRers. Jamie here. It's the 7th of June. It's a Monday morning. And I am driving to meet Peter Boyce, Alison's lawyer, and Alison. We're going to meet in Peter's office and we are going to hear the coroner's findings. So I know it's been a bit of radio silence over the last few months, but that's only because I wanted to wait until I had the coroner's findings before I did an episode. And in September last year, we had 3 days of the coronial inquest, and that was in Gympie. And then just recently in April, we had 2 days, or 1 day, in Brisbane to conclude the coroner's inquest. So, look, hopefully there's a good result here. Hopefully it can move Kira's case forward, but we'll find out in about an hour. So it's pretty exciting. So I just wanted to also thank you for emailing and messaging and commenting on things, asking about the coronial inquest and what's going on. And I haven't been able to reply to everybody, but I do see them and I appreciate them. So thanks for all your support all across the world. And I will update you as soon as I have the coroner's findings. So until then, sit tight.
Office. I say hello and take a seat. In the room is Alison, Kira's mum, Peter Boyce, her lawyer, Annie Gaffney, an ABC journalist, and myself. We're sitting in Peter Boyce's conference room. It's a big room with a large stone tabletop and red chairs around it. A window looking out to the street stretches across the length of the room. There is a large bookshelf which takes up most of the back wall, and it's filled with law and legal books. On the table is a phone. Mr. Boyce will use that phone to call the coroner's court in just a few minutes to hear the findings. There is a bit of nerves and excitement and anticipation in the air. This moment is monumental for Alison and for all of Kira's loved ones. 11 o'clock comes around and it's time to call the court. We didn't record the findings as the coroner read them out, but Mr. Boyce summarises them now. My Zoom recorder is sitting on the stone table, propped up by a cup of coffee. Annie Gaffney is about to chat with us after hearing the coroner's findings. Annie is an experienced, well-known ABC journalist and was kind enough to let me use her recording, chatting with Peter, Alison and myself. So thanks to ABC for letting me use this audio.
Okay. So Peter, Boyce, I'll just get you to start by saying, can you please summarise essentially what the coroner, Miss Bentley, had to say today about Kiralee McLaughlin's inquest?
The findings are really strong and clear that Kira's boyfriend was the perpetrator of the injuries that Kira had and which caused her death.
What was that a finding that you were expecting? What's your reaction to that?
That's a great finding, one that Alison's always believed and always said was the case. But the medical evidence that was presented by the coroner's office was extremely powerful, but also of great assistance to actually working out causes or possible causes of death. And the coroner certainly seized upon them and also seized upon the events and the facts of that night, and also seized upon his despicable record as a domestic violence perpetrator.
Were the findings as strong as you'd hoped for? Was there anything else in there that you were looking for?
They're probably stronger in terms of the cause of death. One would hope now that the Queensland Police Service will read the findings and appoint someone who's experienced in investigating homicides to review the whole file and to start afresh with fresh eyes and then look at what evidence might not have been overturned or what evidence there was that the coroner's court has uncovered that perhaps the police didn't, or what came out of the inquest. So really important.
You've been involved in this case now for a few years since Kira's mum first contacted you. Why do you believe it's 7 years since Kira died? Why do you believe it's taken this long to get justice for Kira?
That's a difficult question. One of the things you have to remember is that there shouldn't be any blame levelled at the coroner's court. They've got lots and lots of work, and they do the level best they can. Resources are always an issue for everyone, but as much as it's been a long time, sometimes you have to wait a long time to get a result that you firmly believe is the one that you're seeking. And, you know, from Alison's point of view, wouldn't have mattered if it was 10 or 20 years, she'd still be fighting. So ideally, it should be done much quicker, but we're not going to throw any criticism at the coroner's office for those delays, because I think they've done their level best.
The coroner did stop short, though, of making any findings at the beginning of her summary against the police investigation or about the police investigation. How unusual is it then, given the strong finding that she did make?
I suspect the coroner has a view about whether the investigation was adequate, and that's not really her role. And to be fair, that wasn't one of the areas that was high on the agenda for the coroner. It wasn't something where police statements were prepared as to the adequacy or inadequacy of the police investigation to date. But regardless of whether that finding was made, the findings are so strong about what caused Kira's death that the police service are well and truly on notice that they ought to be now doing a complete review of this whole investigation. And it needs to be done with a fresh set of eyes and someone who's experienced in homicide. You know, they need to be experts. That's their role, that's their job, not some senior constable in Kimpy.
How often would you get a coroner in a case like this make such strong findings to say that the injuries that Kira's boyfriend caused to her were the cause of her death, and then not make any recommendations about charges being laid? How typical is that?
It's a bit hard for me to comment on that. But suffice it to say that you've got to remember that when we go to a criminal court, it's proof beyond reasonable doubt. That's not the test here. And the coroner's obviously conscious of the different standards of proof that are required. And it doesn't mean that the police can't continue their investigations. In fact, the coroner said they no doubt will continue their investigations. So we're really saying, please do, because we think that an experienced investigator will probably and hopefully come up with some evidence that is fairly compelling, or at least get a prima facie case against the boyfriend, which will be enough, hopefully, to run a trial. But that's another issue. The real issue here is, how did she die? What did she die from? What was the cause of it? Couldn't be clearer. The coroner has not minced any words about the cause of death, which is what Alison's been on about the whole time, that my child has been killed at the hands of her former boyfriend. And that's clearly what was found. So it's a very strong finding.
Kira's mum is Alison Russell. Alison, this must be just a huge moment for you today. How are you feeling as the coroner handed down those, as Peter Boyce said, those very clear findings?
Well, I think Mr. Boyce put it probably best in that it was above what I expected to be handed down. So it's nice to see that it's become clear to everybody now what actually happened, what the truth was.
You've been fighting this fight for 7 years to get justice for Kira.
I have.
How are you feeling now?
Relieved. And I've lost that word, but just thankful that now everybody sees it for the way it is and not for all the lies that were told all through the first few years, or the way it was ignored all through the way through the first few years.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Alison, I know that you have been fighting so hard for your daughter all this time. Have you felt her with you in this process?
Yes.
Have you felt her here today?
Oh, yes, yes. Kira always did run the show. She always will. She is in control of everything, and as much as that might make me sound crazy, I just think the way things have happened and the timing and the people that have come into my life, it's just all fitted in like a jigsaw puzzle, and that's her way of saying, it's all right, Mum, I've got this.
And one of those people that has come into your life, of course, is Jamie Poults, who's sitting alongside you today and has been here for the coroner's findings. Jamie, I first met you quite a few years ago when you started recording Beenham Valley Road to investigate what happened to Kira. You'd been called out to assist her during your career as a police officer. Mm. How are you feeling after all those episodes and, Alison, you've really sort of helped Alison, I guess, and she's helped you kind of push this further along, this investigation into what happened to Kira to search for those answers. And I saw you holding on to Alison during the findings being handed down over the phone today. How are you feeling?
Oh, I feel great about it. It was the best findings we could have hoped for. It was everything I was hoping for and more. She struck out some of the other things that were told, some of the lies that, you know, the boyfriend had said had happened. So she died at the hands of her ex-partner, and we couldn't ask for a better finding. And just all the work we've done, you know, to get here, it was a pretty long road, and it was a hard process. But, you know, through the listeners of Bennett Valley Road, like, we've got people all around the world who are checking in, asking how it's going, and, you know, sending support to Alison. And, yeah, I'm just really thankful for that, and I'm thankful that Alison trusted me to do this, and I've made a great friend out of it. And, yeah, I'm just over the moon.
Has Kira got justice?
We're closer.
Not yet, but we're closer.
We're closer.
And, Jamie, you as a police officer, you no longer work for the police force in Queensland, were called out at one stage to help Kira.
Yep.
You know, it was that interaction with her and your frustration at not being able to help her at that time with domestic violence that really spurred you into action with this podcast.
That interaction with Kira just imprinted on me, and I just felt I needed to do something about it. And, you know, I couldn't do anything about it then, but I was in a situation where I could do something about it, and just, yeah, I just couldn't let that, I couldn't let it go, just thinking that that person who asked for help is now dead. And, you know, when I reached out to Alison, and it all just kicked off from there, so.
It did, and we had a few surprises along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. As well, but. Yeah, I'm pretty happy. I think Kira's pretty happy.
Yeah, 7 years on, and we're here now, and we've got great findings, and fingers crossed moving forward.
Yeah.
Will you be working together as well as this case continues to progress?
Yeah. So, yeah, I said when I finished Bennett Valley Road, it was only finished because the story so far had been told, but there's more to the story now, and there will be more to the story. And if there is a criminal proceeding afterwards, we'll continue to update that, and yeah, I'll be a friend. And
this has ultimately been a terrible case of domestic violence.
Mm.
What would you like to say to any person who is a victim of domestic violence currently and living in that situation, Alison, as a result of these findings today and the battle that you fought for your daughter to get justice?
I'm probably not the one to speak on that matter. The person who would be more of an expert would be Katie, because she survived and she thrived despite what she'd been through, and she's the ultimate survivor of an abusive relationship. I didn't actually suffer an abusive relationship as such, but I'm just hoping that with all this, maybe people can see the red flags when they come up and they can go, oh, that sounds familiar. I've had people send messages to me saying, this sounds the same as my daughter, and, you know, there's this and this and this. And I say to them, well, you know, you only get one chance. Once they're gone, they're gone.
What were the early signs that you noticed with Kira that there could be domestic violence happening?
The whole love obsession, like completely over the top. Yes, I'm going to marry her. I'm madly in love with her, and she's going to have my babies. And she already had four babies. I don't. But it's just the whole demeanour, the history that was being given to me directly. There was a lot of red flags, but my daughter was not a girl who could be told what to do, even by her mother. And I think she was terrified of being a single parent with four children. So she was stuck in this situation she couldn't get out of. The coercive control was mind-boggling, absolutely mind-boggling. And even Kira, who would have to have been one of the strongest people I've ever known, and everybody who knew her would have said the same thing about her. The fact that she was a victim of domestic violence means that anybody can be a victim, and so we've got to stop this from happening.
So can I just, Kathleen Cox, coroner's findings at paragraph 267, 68, 69 and 70, this is what she has said. Ms. Cox produced two documents outlining her relationship with boyfriend. They contain a harrowing account of constant abuse, both physical and psychological, perpetrated by the boyfriend on her, which commenced shortly after she met him in 2001, when she was still at high school, and continued until he went to prison in 2014. In summary, Ms. Cox stated that Mr. McDonald frequently raped her, hit her, and called her names. He often kept her awake all night whilst hitting and abusing her. He spent all their money on drugs and alcohol so that she was unable to pay rent or buy food for their children. He threatened to kill her, including burning down her grandparents' house if she left him. In evidence, Ms. Cox stated that Mr. McDonald frequently grabbed her around the throat when they were arguing. He would start with verbal abuse and then accuse her of infidelity. He would then become enraged and then push her, grab her, punch her and throw her around. He punched the walls, threw her into the walls. Sometimes he grabbed her by the throat and pushed her face into the walls. That's the person. Could not get a better description. I've tended part of that document. If you read it, it's harrowing to read.
And this is the mother of Katie's boyfriend's children.
Absolutely. So that's the quality of what we're dealing with. So he's a manipulative person, as you've said, but she's had it all. So for her, I'm so pleased that she had the guts to get up and say, well, I'm not copping this anymore. And that's easy for us to all say.
After all the dust had settled, I sat down with Alison to get her thoughts on what just happened.
All right, we're rolling.
So, Alison, we're in Peter Boyce's office in Nambour, and we have just... he had to leave, obviously, but we just had a telephone call with the coroner, and they have handed... she's handed her findings down, and they're really, really strong and really good for us. So how do you feel about all that?
I'm not sure yet. I'm still a bit numb.
Yeah.
After all that time waiting and then, oh, we're handing down the findings in 4 days. It's like my body's still in shock. Mm. But the more I think about it, the happier it makes me. Because it's just, like I said, vindication. Mm. That.
Well, the findings are 55 pages long. So it's quite extensive. The coroner, Jane Bentley, summarised that on the phone. And it was basically that she struck out all the other versions of events we've heard, you know, that Jason, the boyfriend, had said, you know, that she overdosed, that he dropped her in the shower, and that Tamika did it, you know, and Jane Bentley, the state coroner, has said, based on the evidence and based on the professional witnesses they had, the medical professionals, that it's she finds that that didn't cause Kira's death. And it was pretty, she didn't mince words. So, I mean, I couldn't be happier with those results.
No, it's, as I said, it's going to take a while to digest after all this time, but...
Yeah,
it's feeling good. I can feel the smile coming back to my face.
It's just good, you know. Like she mentions that, you know, he called 13 Health instead of 000, and that she's accepting the neighbours who heard, you know, Jason say, "I fucked up. I don't know what to do" on the phone, and also, "I don't love you anymore."
Yes.
So I mean, that's all really good.
It was all in there, all the important stuff was in there, and she heard it all and put it all together the way it should have been put together.
So, I mean, it's just, I think we couldn't have asked for a better result.
No,
so, I mean, fingers crossed. So what happens from here? Well, hopefully the police review their investigation and give it a new set of eyes. And so, I mean, I've been holding off, you know, doing an episode on Bean and Valley Road because I wanted to have the findings, and, you know, speaking with Peter Boyce, your solicitor, said that's a good idea to do. We have been inundated with people asking how you are, what's going on with Kira's case, is the coronial over, what's happening with it, and now we can finally say that current coronial's done.
Now we start all over again with criminal proceedings, hopefully.
So, yeah. But, yeah, thank you to all the listeners who, you know, have reached out and listened to Bean and Valley Road. And thank you to you, Alison, for trusting me to do it and, you know, being there every step of the way. And it's not over yet.
You were a Kira sent miracle.
Well, that's arguable, but...
But, no, the timing was just incredible.
Oh, yeah, and she also went into quite a bit of detail about his history.
Yes.
And how...
Several times.
And how disastrous it is.
Yes.
That basically he is a repeat offender and all... He there is a lengthy criminal history in regards to domestic violence, and she didn't sugarcoat it. You know, he has a tendency to violence, and he gets physical, and he strangles, he hits. You know, she didn't hold back.
No, she didn't hold back at all, which is fabulous. But I found it interesting when he said that he'd never heard of such a bad...
Oh, Peter Boyce said that,
DV record. Like, he's been in this game for a very long time. And for him to say that, that's pretty huge.
It is.
So how on earth it was ever walking the streets, I don't know. But...
Hopefully
it never will again. Yeah.
Well, thank you for allowing me to interview you and speaking with me. I know you're probably pretty emotional after that, but... So there you have it. We are much closer than ever before. Thanks to you, the listener, for tuning in and caring about Kira's story and her case. And I will update you if anything happens with this case. Until then, take care. Bean and Valley Road is a 610 Media production. This episode was written and produced by myself, Jamie Peltz. The theme music is Peace of Heaven by Pete Allen. A special thanks to Annie Gaffney from the ABC for letting me use her audio. Please, guys, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us. And also you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Bean and Valley Road. Thanks.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.